This interview is with Everett Lacey, who served as city clerk of the city of Moorhead from
1950. Well, I've been on the staff since 1954.
And he is retiring at the end of this month, March 1985. The interview was held at Moorhead State University's recording studio on March 13, 1985. The interviewer is Betsy Vins, representing the Heritage Education Commission. The first set of questions deals with personal background. Your full name?
Everett B. Lacey.
Address?
508 32nd Avenue South, Moorhead.
Your age?
59.
Date and place of birth?
I was born August the 30th, 1925, at Winger, Minnesota.
Your parents' names?
Alfred and Anna Lacey.
Nationality?
Scandinavian, more specifically Norwegian.
And your parents' place of birth?
My father was born in Vesta, Minnesota, and my mother was born in Purley, Minnesota.
When and why did you come to Moorhead?
I came to Moorhead in 1947 to attend Concordia College.
And did you just, is that the time when you made your decision just to stay here?
No, I finished Concordia in 1951 and went to work for U.S. Steel in Chisholm, Minnesota. And returned here in October of 1954 to go to work for the city of Moorhead.
And your education?
Well, I went to grade school in Winger, Minnesota. I went to 3 years of high school in McIntosh, Minnesota. And I went to 1 year at the Northwest School of Agriculture in Crookston. Then I graduated from high school in 1943, went in the service, started Concordia in 1947. I attended Concordia till 1951. I didn't quite finish all my work, so when I came back to Moorhead, I went to night school and earned my degree.
And then the date of your graduation then was?
Technically, my graduation was in 1961, however, I was in the class of 51.
Okay.
Just 14 years to go to college, that's all.
26 for me, so sounds good. Your occupations?
Oh, I was raised on a farm, so my background was farming, which led to some humorous experiences while I was in the service. When I got out of the service, I've worked in a milk processing plant. I've worked in construction and done janitor work. When I worked for U.S. Steel, I was an office worker in an underground mine office, which was a very interesting job. And then when I left there, of course, I came to Moorhead and started working for the city. And I started working as an accountant and became deputy city clerk in 1955. And in 1966, in December, I was appointed city clerk to replace the retiring Paul A. Cook. And I've been city clerk ever since. And they added a new title to my position, Director of Administration and Finance, in the last few years.
Okay, then the next questions deal with governmental background. I think you have covered this, but we'll get it again. The dates that you were involved with local government.
I suppose my exposure to local government started back in Winger when my father was the treasurer and I did some of his work for him, so I became just vaguely familiar, not knowing what my future was going to be. Then I served as a replacement for a lady on an election board. I was a judge of elections in 1950, I suppose that's my first exposure to public affairs. It was an exciting and interesting experience, which is a story in itself. And from then on, I didn't get involved except that my supervisor at the Chisholm job was the mayor of Chisholm at the time, and I got very interested in governmental affairs through him. So when I was able to get a job working for the city of Morehead, I was more than ready and willing to get involved.
Again, I think this has been covered, your involvement with government. Is there anything you would want to add?
How specific do you want to get?
Well, the question is, what was your involvement in government? And maybe right. I would add to that, has there been any involvement in politics? Or what?
Oh, no. In the election, the only part of the election process that I've been involved in is the management of the elections themselves. I've been an election officer, not a candidate. I've never been a candidate for office in my life. And as far as being involved, if you want to get into it at this point, I've been involved in many public and civic affairs during my term of office.
I think we can elaborate on that later on.
Okay.
And the question, are you currently involved in government or politics?
Well, yes, I'm employed now until the end of the month.
Okay, now we move into the main part of the interview. What motivated you to become involved in government?
Well, I had an interest in government. I always have had. However, I think the need for a job and the fact that I accepted a job that happened to be open at the time was how I got involved. There's many specifics to it, but not to be related here.
Mm-hmm. Was your involvement in government then a career decision?
At that time, yes.
And how did you arrive at this decision?
I was appointed to fill the vacancy at Morehead City Hall in 1954, and I'd only been on a job for 6 months before I was certain that that was going to be my career. It was exciting, very exciting, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
It is fun. I wish more people cared what went on at City Hall. Who were your role models?
I don't know that I had a specific role model other than Paul Cook, who was my mentor and predecessor, who was a very, very interesting person. He had so many interests that were outside of City Hall. Not that he was active as a civic leader or that sort of thing, but he was a sportsman and all those things. And of course, I love to listen to people tell stories, and he was a great storyteller. And I've absorbed many, many stories from him and other older people in the city. That's used to be sort of my hobby.
Is he still living?
No. He passed away in 1974, I believe.
How did your occupation... it says, how did your occupation help or hinder your involvement in government? But I think that's... I don't know if there's anything you want to add there.
That's pretty obvious. there was no way that I could get involved directly with the election process other than being an employee of the city and conducting the elections. One of the great sins in my profession is to get politically involved, and I've done everything in my power to avoid that ever since I've come to work for the city.
Is that a question of ethics, or is that
survival?
A written regulation someplace?
It's a matter of survival. You see, if you support a losing candidate, you are in trouble. I could tell of experiences other people in my profession have had with that, and it's just an unwise thing to do. And I certainly would leave that bit of wisdom to anybody that may succeed me. That
so the old Hatch Act then did not involve you?
No.
You weren't related. Okay. Were you involved in making any lasting changes in the community? And if so, what were they?
Oh my, I've been involved in so many things that were local. Credit unions, Rotary, I've been in... and on board of directors, and also the secretary of Rotary. I've been on the Chamber of Commerce board. I was the treasurer of the FM Centennial Board in 1975, which was a monumental task. And I've been a member of the Red River Valley Historical Society Task Force. I've been very active in the Charter Commission for many, many years. And before I was a member of the Charter Commission, I was active as a staff person. I've been division chairman of the United Fund. I've been on the St. Ansgar Long Range Planning Commission, or committee, and I've been on the League of Cities Resources Committee. I've been on the Joint Powers Committee for several years. And I've been on several committees and task forces that are of state origin, however, could conceivably have had some effect on the city of Moorhead. They involve the League of Cities and president of our own Clerks and Finance Officers Association for the state of Minnesota. And I've been on the board of directors for the League of Minnesota Cities.
I'm tempted to ask you what you did in your spare time. What do you feel was your greatest failure or disappointment in government?
Well, I think maybe my greatest disappointment is, although my education was directed unknowingly in the right direction for municipal administration, I wish now that I would have known what my career was going to be when I was attending college, so I could have been more specific in my education, and I could have taken more municipal administration courses, and I could have been a greater asset to both myself and the city.
What role did state and national problems such as war, the economy, finances play in the community during your years in government?
Well, I suppose the first impact was the urban renewal project, which involved the influx of $10 million in federal funds into the city, and I was city's finance officer at that time. And in those days, $10 million was $10 million. It was a pile of money. I was involved in two sewage disposal plants that were constructed. One became outmoded, but they were both funded by federal funds. The first one was less than $1 million. The second one was over almost $30 million. And 90% of that was federal funding. The state is getting more and more involved in the financing of local government, and as a result, the local government becomes a puppet almost of state government in the financing part. For example, about 1981, when the state was very low on its finances, they changed the dates on which they would submit to us our local government aids. Instead of submitting them in quarterly payments, they delayed us for 6 months. That left us with a deficit of $500,000 in operating capital. We survived because we were prudent managers, and we have since then provided a reserve of operating capital that will carry us through that kind of an emergency again. We've also been involved with general revenue sharing funds, which has been of great assistance to the city of Moorhead in capital developments, building of certain buildings, and buying certain equipment and developing parks and that sort of thing. The county has been involved to some extent in local financing. They've assisted us in some road construction, and their road and bridge fund also assists us in maintaining the so-called city-county highways.
I'd like to go back to two things. One, when you talked about the water plants and the difference of $1 million and $30 million. Was there a tremendous difference in the size and capability of those facilities and the number of years difference? I mean, was it inflation that that affected that cost?
First of all, they were sewage plants or wastewater treatment plants.
Okay.
The first wastewater treatment plant was sort of a patch. Our sewage was going into the river almost in a raw state. It was being filtered during the time that we had heavy rains and so forth. The storm and sanitary sewers were combined, and the plant couldn't handle it, so it just overflowed into the river. Which reminds me that we also have, during my time, completed the separation of storm and sanitary sewers. And getting back to the plants, that first plant was was, like I said, just a patch, something to hold us until we could do something more permanently. The plant we've got now is of such extent that we can include the surrounding area to treat their sewage. For example, Dilworth is in it. Wall Street, if they decide to have a sewer distribution system, can dump into our sewer plant. And we've got more than adequate facilities to handle it.
Okay. The other thing I was curious, and maybe you can't answer this, but do you know if the Korean War had any direct effect, or the Korean conflict, I guess they call it, had any direct impact on the city of Moorhead? It's a little before your time, I guess, but...
I was in Moorhead when my brother left for the Korean conflict.
Mm.
I had two brothers in the Korean conflict. But there wasn't too much effect during my time that was directly as a result of the Korean conflict.
Okay, thank you. What was the power structure in government during the time of your involvement?
Well, that fluctuated so often, that would be a very long time question to answer. It was kind of interesting, when I first started working for the city, Thornley Wells was mayor, and I'd only worked for the city a short time when he was maneuvered into an appointment as a county commissioner, and I.T. Steenerson was appointed to finish out his term as mayor. And, of course, I was kind of naive in those days and didn't really understand the structure, but I could see where the power laid. You know, it wasn't just the council who made these decisions. It was downtown businessmen, chamber people, and that sort of thing. And in those days, the chamber and the downtown business organization, whether it was a formal organization or not, the group of people did have influence in City Hall, which is something that I think is lacking today. There doesn't seem to be a lot of, or not as much as I think there should be, of local businessmen support for local government.
Mm. Although a lot of people question that too, that the chamber is too involved. It's maybe something the community needs to be educated on, the need for business people. Was there someone you called on for advice and or support?
Well, the first 12 years that I worked for the city, of course, I was an employee of Paul A. Cook. And when I needed some assistance, I called on Paul A. Cook. If I needed some advice on more sophisticated financial needs, I would call on our auditors. Or we have consultants that we work with from the Twin Cities.
What kind of coverage have you received from the media? And do you feel this treatment has been fair?
Well, the media has been pretty fair. You know, they're going to screw up once in a while too, and I guess I have sympathy for that. I can understand when they interview me for something for 10 minutes and then get to use 30 seconds of it on the air, that they're going to have to do a lot of cutting. Well, quite often you get a feeling that they're taking your message out of context and not really giving the message that you're trying to convey. Yet, it's only 30 seconds, and I guess the people who receive the message forget about it as fast as they receive it. So it's never been of any real consequence to me.
How about print journalism then?
I've had, I have no complaint. As a matter of fact, in the last few weeks, they've been very, very kind to me.
What community changes have you seen or precipitated or been unhappy about?
Well, I've seen the colleges grow, which makes me very happy. I think that they're two fine institutions, and I think they're a very important part of our community. I've seen Moorhead grow in population. I've seen Moorhead stop growing. Now I'm starting to see the decline in the colleges. Not too much yet, but it's predicted that it'll be worse. And I've seen the decline in the number of students in our high schools and grade schools and junior high. All those things are kind of disappointing to me, because I, for one, am an advocate of growth for Moorhead. I'd like to see Moorhead grow and become even larger. And I think if the state tax plans and programs get straightened out a little bit, it could be a great help to the city of Moorhead, where we can better compete with our neighbors.
Do you see border cities legislation as a beginning, or?
I think it's just an interim thing. I think border legislation is probably going to disappear when we get some tax relief, because there are too many people that are not from these areas and are not going to look kindly upon us receiving something that their constituents don't get. Mm-hmm. So I feel that as long as we can have it, we're well off, but if we lose it, it's not to be too surprising.
How has the nature of your community involvement changed over the years?
Well, in the last 10 years, I've almost completely divorced myself from very active community involvement. For physical reasons, I acquired rheumatoid arthritis in 1974, and I don't have the energy to take part, and I really miss it very much. I really enjoyed those very active years that I was involved in so many things. I am feeling better now, and knowing that I'm going to retire, I think I feel even better yet, and hopefully my next years will be better than my last few have been, physically.
I hope so, too. Did you assume other leadership roles in the community, either before, during, or after your city employment? I think you have answered that.
I think we've covered most of those.
Did your family support or discourage your involvement in community affairs?
Oh, my family was very supportive. Little things that I have two children that are now adults, grown up, and I've got grandchildren. And a statement one of my kids made, I don't remember which one, said, "Gee, Dad, you know, we sure could have had a lot more fun in high school if you wouldn't have been city clerk." I guess that goes to show that they had respect for me and my job, and were willing to divorce themselves from their peers, and neither one of them ever embarrassed me once, not even once, during the whole time they were in school.
Did anything you did as a city official ever embarrass them, do you think?
No. I suppose in my kind of work with the public exposure, there's a certain amount of notoriety and public criticism and public rewards or whatever, and my family has always been kind of conservative in that respect, and the less I appeared in public, the better they felt. But my wife has been very, very supportive. She's been able, she seems to understand the fact that I haven't been able to be home that much. maybe so much that it's going to be difficult now when I'm going to be home all the time.
That will be a change. How did you deal with the stress that so often goes with political office, public office?
I enjoyed bowling. I was a very good bowler. And, well, you see, every time I do something, I always get involved. I can't just do something and be that way. When I was bowling, I was secretary of the league, kept track of everything, and treasurer of the league. I got to know everybody. I was in the credit union. Just being a member wasn't enough. I had to be the manager and the treasurer of the credit union. I took up golf. I didn't start golfing until about 1968 or six, somewhere in that area, maybe 65, somewhere after 1965 anyway. And I became a pretty good golfer. As a matter of fact, I won quite a few trophies. But after my arthritis became acute, I had to both quit both golfing and I had to quit bowling. So I had to concentrate more on other sports. I concentrated a little more heavily on fishing, and I love to fish, and I think I'm a very good fisherman. All those things were my way to relax from stress.
Would you like to see your children or grandchildren involved in government?
Oh, by all means. It's very rewarding.
Are either of your children involved in government at this point, or politics?
No, they're not actively involved. They're very interested, but they're not actively involved.
Let's see. Do you think your retirement will have any effect on your standing in the community?
Oh, I'm sure. Unless I find something else to do, I just can't imagine that I will completely disappear into the woodwork. I'm just not made that way. I predict that I will probably be involved somewhere, some way, and I'm not really fond of volunteerism. I think, to start with, I just want to be on vacation for a while. I just want to relax, and I want to fish until I get tired of it. And if I do anything, it'll be on a very part-time basis. Whether or not I would get involved in government anymore only remains to be seen.
If you had your years in government to live over, what would you do differently, and why?
I think the only thing I would do differently is I would hopefully prepare myself more for the position. The change I've noticed is that government has become very technical and complicated, and it's time, for example, it's time for me to leave and somebody with more training and experience to come in and take over. I think if I would have been healthy, I could have continued in my career. I don't have any doubts about that. It's just that I think that with my physical condition, I couldn't exert myself to the extent that was needed in the city. So I'm taking early retirement. But I would have prepared myself a little differently, education-wise. But otherwise, I wouldn't change a thing. I have no regrets or anything for what's been done or how it has been done.
That's a very good. You do support the city manager.
Well, and definitely I support the city manager. I think that with the government becoming more and more technical and more complicated and more involved with other branches of government, that somebody with a good background of moxie in the field of government administration is really needed, and that's what we're doing, and it's the right thing to do.
And the final question, what do you feel is your greatest contribution towards making Moorhead a better place?
Oh, I suppose arranging the financing for all the new city buildings in the city of Moorhead has probably been, if you're going to go to one single thing, the one thing that I could put my fingers on immediately or my mind to. We had what was referred to by one of our mayors as a dead of obsolescence. All of our buildings were old, decrepit, and too small, very inadequate, and we have built a dozen new buildings in town, and we've done it in such a way that the financing has not given the citizens a debt that they can't handle. It's been done, I think, very innovative. Excuse me. It's been done very innovatively, and we're very proud of it.
Didn't you tell me once that the city had built? I've forgotten the number of buildings within a given period of years, and that they were all paid for.
We built, since I came to work for the city, we've built a new library, we've built a new city hall, we've built two new fire stations, a police station, a sports center, equipment maintenance building and storage, and...
A transfer station?
Well, yes, a transfer station, and of course the wastewater treatment plants, and I'm forgetting something, but it's amazing the amount of construction we've had in the city, and our actual debt ratio for ad valorem tax is very, very low, and most of it was financed from a tax on our electric utility, and in a very unique way, we sold bonds to be paid for out of this tax, which is a perpetuating tax provided for in our charter, which was an amendment that when Mayor Stordahl was mayor, and we put it together, and he was a very strong supporter of it.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to add? Elaborate on any question or anything?
No, except that I'd like to state that I'm very, very pleased to have been able to work for the city of Moorhead. Sounds like a swan song, but I think the city of Moorhead's been good to me, and I think I've done some good things for the city of Moorhead, and I'm pleased about that.
I think you've been an asset, too.